Today's text for Pastor Wiersbe is taken from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22, and we hear about the names of Christ and learn about the fact that Christ is the high priest.
Yes, Christ the Savior does live today, and we're going to be talking about that in our study, because I want to talk with you about one of the names, one of the titles of our Lord Jesus that is used only once in the Scripture. It's found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, and verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Now that verse is right in the middle of a rather complex chapter about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Today the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest in heaven. Now the Old Testament priests died. They were not permitted to continue in their ministry because they died. Aaron died and his son had to take over. And Eli died and Samuel took over. There were various times in the history of Israel when, because of the death of the high priest, a new priest had to be ordained. But this is not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ lives forever. He has an eternal nature because he is eternal God. And he will live forever by the power of an endless life. Verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 7 says, "But this man, Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." So this is why he is called the surety. Now this word surety simply means somebody who assumes a responsibility. You have been in cities where there is a courthouse, a jailhouse, and nearby you will always find the bondsmen, the people who sell the bail bonds. They go surety for a prisoner. The judge says, well, you have to post a $1,000 bond, and so the bondsman will post for the prisoner the bond. He becomes the surety. The Greek word means to make a pledge, to offer security. It means to undertake an obligation for another. Now, it's different from a mediator. Jesus Christ is our mediator. A mediator is one who gets two estranged parties together. But a mediator does not always have to pay a price. The surety is one who is the guarantee that the bail will be paid, the price will be paid. He is the security. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ today is our surety in heaven. Let's examine this from three different aspects. First of all, by way of explanation, what does this mean? Why do I need a surety in heaven? When you have been reading the book of Proverbs, I'm sure you've noticed how many times the writer warns the reader about becoming surety. For example, in Proverbs chapter 6, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger," that means you shook hands on a deal of some kind, "thou art snared with the words of thy mouth." Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. He says, now you do this. You go and you deliver yourself. Don't become surety for a stranger, because you will end up paying the bill. Well, I owed God a great deal. I was in debt to him. I'd broken his law. I had defied his will. And I was bankrupt. I was too poor to pay. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth for me, for you, and he became poor. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich." The Lord Jesus became poor in his birth, in his life, but especially in his death. He became the poorest of the poor, that he might make us the richest of the rich. Now, he arose from the dead. He's gone back to heaven. He's alive today, and he's going to live forever because he is eternal God. And there in heaven, as my high priest, he is the surety. You know what that means? He is the guarantee that I am saved and that I cannot be lost. Now, that strikes some of you perhaps as being a bit, maybe we've gone a little bit too far, but that's what the Scripture says. Listen to verse 25 of Hebrews 7. "Wherefore, And that wherefore goes back to verse 22. He is the surety. Verse 24, he has an unchangeable priesthood and continues forever. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Now you can translate that to save them forever, to save them completely, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Why? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now we often read Hebrews 7:25 as though it says he saves us from the uttermost. And we tell people, no matter how wicked you may be, Jesus can save you. That is true. There's no problem with that. But that's not what that verse is saying. The verse is not saying that Christ saves us from the uttermost. It says he saves us to the uttermost. He saves us completely. He saves us forever because he is the surety. You see, my salvation is not wrapped up in my good works. My salvation is wrapped up in my Savior. And as long as he is alive, I will be saved. How long is he going to live? Well, he continues forever because he has an unchangeable priesthood. We are saved to the uttermost because Jesus is our surety. Now, Satan up in heaven comes to God the Father and says, "Did you see what Pastor Wiersbe did? Did you hear what he just said?" And God the Father says, "Yes, I did." And God the Son says, "I am his surety. He cannot be lost because I am the guarantee that he will be saved forever." That's the explanation of this wonderful title, Jesus Christ, our surety. Now let's take a second aspect of this name. Let's look at it by way of illustration. You know, for every New Testament doctrine, there's a beautiful Old Testament illustration. And this is true of this word surety. You'll remember that Joseph's brothers hated him, and they sold him into slavery. Joseph ended up in Egypt. But God blessed Joseph, and he became second ruler in the land. Well, a famine came, and Joseph's brothers had to go down to Egypt to get some food. And Joseph recognized them, although they did not recognize him. What did Joseph do? He wanted to make sure they'd come back. So he did two things. Number one, he kept Simeon as hostage. Number two, he said, "If you come back, you have to bring your younger brother, Benjamin, along with you." Well, they went back and told old Jacob, and Jacob didn't like it one bit. He said, "Oh, you're not going to take Benjamin. I've lost Simeon, and I've lost Joseph, and I'm not going to lose Benjamin." Well, that was all well and good until they started getting hungry. And finally, the boys said to their father, "We have to go back to Egypt and get some food." Now, at that point, Reuben stepped up in Genesis chapter 42, verse 37. Reuben said to his father, "Slay my two sons if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again." And Jacob said, "No, Reuben, I don't trust you. You leave home, you might not have to come back. I might never see you again. I might not see Reuben again. No, I won't do it." Well, then in Genesis chapter 43, Judah steps up, and he says something wonderful in verse 8. He says, "Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever." Judah said, "I'll be surety for Benjamin, and I will bring him back again." And he did. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He says to God the Father, "I am surety for these for whom I have died." And God the Father says, "I trust you, of course. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and I will accept you as their surety." There's also a New Testament picture of this beautiful truth. I think it's familiar to you. You remember that Paul wrote a little letter to a man called Philemon. Apparently, Paul had led Philemon to Christ. Philemon lived, as far as we can tell, in Colossae. Philemon had a slave whose name was Onesimus. Onesimus robbed his master, fled to Rome, and by the providence of God came in contact with Paul and was converted. Now, Paul was going to send Onesimus back to Philemon. And he writes this in his little letter. Verse 17, "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Paul said, I will be surety for Onesimus. I will stand for him. And when you look at Onesimus, remember you're looking at Paul. I like that picture. The Lord Jesus Christ is our surety in heaven. And he says to God the Father, if they owe you anything, I have paid it. Receive them the way you would receive me. Now let's look at this by way of application. What's it mean to us today? We're busy people. We have so many demands, and we have problems and burdens and battles. What does it mean to you today that Jesus Christ is your surety in heaven? Now, perhaps he is not your surety. Perhaps you've never been converted. Perhaps you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Well, you ought to do that. And then when you trust him as your Savior, Jesus Christ becomes your surety in heaven. What does this mean? First of all, it means this. It is God's assurance that he will keep his covenant. God has made a covenant of grace with us through the Lord Jesus Christ. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, a better covenant. You see, the people to whom the book of Hebrews was written were tempted to trust in their temple, their ceremonies, their priests, their sacrifices. And the writer says, no, Jesus Christ is all that you need. He's everything. He's your hope. He is your Savior. He is your Lord. And he is your surety. The high priest in the Jewish commonwealth died. He could not be the surety of anything. But Jesus Christ lives forever. Therefore, he is God's assurance to us that God will keep his covenant. Now, we know that God keeps his covenant. God cannot lie. God is perfect. He will not do anything that is wrong. But just to give us that extra assurance, he says to us, my son is the surety. As long as he is alive, that covenant is going to be kept. Secondly, Christ is our assurance to God. Oh, I make promises to God, and so do you. We don't always keep them. But Jesus Christ is our assurance to God. We can't keep ourselves saved. We can't keep ourselves perfect. Only Jesus Christ, standing at the throne of God, can represent us. And he says to God the Father, I am their surety. Whatever they owe you, I have paid. Whatever they are in me, because they are my children. And so you see, we as Christians have a wonderful assurance. We're not going to lose our salvation. We're going to have a high priest in heaven who lives forever. He stands before the throne of God as the guarantee. He is the pledge. He is the security for our salvation. Now, this is not given to us to make us careless. God does not give us assurance to make us careless. No. Anyone who is truly born again wants to live a godly life. And that's why Jesus is there. We can come to him at any time and know we are accepted. We can come to him with any need and know that he will hear us. Just as Judas said, I will be surety for that lad. I will not come home without him. So Jesus Christ says of us, I am your surety, and you're going to get home with me. I'm building a home for you. I'm preparing a place for you. And I want you to know something. You are going to make it because I am your surety. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.